Bless you all. Tonight I want, the title of my teaching is Living in the Supernatural. Now today there's a lot of emphasis on Marvel characters and all these different heroes that people just look to that are fantastic. But I want to tell you that you need to look around this room and see the greatest supernatural heroes of all time are right here. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, we're no longer ordinary like Gino's song. We're no longer ordinary anymore. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have power. And we all want to see the power of God in manifestation in our lives, right? But to experience God's explosive force in ourselves, we must be in the position to receive the power of God. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said before he ascended into heaven that the disciples would receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they will be witnesses unto him in all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They will be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. We will be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the greatest superhero of all time because he was a man just like you and I are, but he obeyed his Heavenly Father in all things and he saw his worth and value. And that's what we need to do, see our worth and value as sons and daughters of God and see what God's part is in our lives and what we need to do. So what makes it supernatural is power. Living in the supernatural requires us to know the Word of God and His promises, to believe it over the circumstances of the natural, and be fully persuaded that what God has said, He will fulfill His Word. We need to let God be God. So many times in our lives, we think we have to figure things out, and a lot of people think that they have to earn their way to heaven. But God has, in His love, and we heard that in manifestations, that if we could only understand the greatness of His love, that He called us out before the foundation of the world to be His children. And He looks at us as these precious masterpieces. You know, if I was to give you, if you were to inherit the Mona Lisa, you would probably have one of the most expensive art pieces in the world. And people would hear about you. You would become very famous because you owned that. Well, God is very famous because He owns each one of us. Mm-hmm. And as we realize the greatness of that ownership, who we are in Christ, then we're going to see that supernatural come to pass. In the newsletter Bob handed out on Sunday, he had an article, Prayers That Spark the Heart. And we're looking at prayers, and I'm going to look at a special prayer in Ephesians. But I wanted to share this first paragraph again. It says, prayers for some can seem mundane, but for us who have experienced fellowship and prayer with the Heavenly Father, can confidently say prayer is an awesome adventure in believing. There's so much more to prayer than some token words passed up to the heavens. Prayer is the switch to God's heart, as well as a means for Him to respond to you. As you investigate prayers in the Bible, you will see some that really spark the heart. And I wanted you to, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and start in verse 15. So if you would like to turn to that, we're going to look at this prayer because we're going to see all the things that God feels are important in our lives. And prayer is a communication. It's God's way of opening the door for us to get blessed. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse. We're going to start in verse 15. And I'm also going to look at the Passion Translation for these verses. And it says, verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, these are words from God. holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this is God's desire for us. And Paul's speaking it. His, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what the prayer is, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the first prayer is that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We won't look at it right now, but John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that you might know me, the one true God, and my son, Jesus Christ. I always thought eternal life was a measurement of time, but it's a relationship, our relationship with God Almighty. And that's the intimacy. If you look at knowledge that you may know, that perceive, we used to say it's a experiential understanding or perceiving, but even if you look up that you may know, it's actually the word gnosko, but it means an intimacy. God Almighty wants an intimate relationship with us, just like your dad wants to know you. But if you don't ever sit on his lap or come and talk to him, you're not going to know what he thinks, and he's not going to know what you think. So God Almighty wants us to come sit on his lap. Some people go crawling to him and think, I don't know if he's got time for me. But I say, jump in his lap, because mm-hmm. God wants an intimate relationship with you. In the Passion Translation, it says, I pray the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart unto you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know God through your deepening intimacy with him. God's desire is that we have an intimate relationship, that we know him. The thing that got me interested in learning about God's word is I wanted to know if I was doing God's will. And my dad said, and you've probably all heard this, but I asked my dad, how do you know you're doing God's will? And he said, you find out when you die. And that's probably not a good way to do something. Yeah. If you want to know how to perfect an apple pie, you don't just make one and it burns. You keep working on it, right? Well, God wants us to know him intimately, that he is our Heavenly Father, that he doesn't require us to work hard to receive his love, but we just receive it. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And the Passion Bible says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of our uttermost heart, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Mm-hmm. Can you see your worth and value? Do you know your worth and value? If I had a coin here that was made of gold and one that was made of silver, which do you think would be more valuable? I'd say the gold, right?
Yeah.
Well, the value is in what the cost was. Well, God gave his only begotten son to die, allowed him to die so that we could be his inheritance, that we could be see his wealth. God is very wealthy, and we are his wealth. Verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. And verse 19 says in the Passion, I pray that you would continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. You know, we are believers because we believe. We believe the word of God. Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When we believe God's word, we will see. We see the difference. And then it says, then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him in the place of honor and authority in the heavenly realms. So God wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to have our eyes flooded with the hope of his calling. You know, he called us before the foundation of the world to, with a plan, a destiny for us that would be great success, that we would actually represent Jesus Christ to the world. And what did Jesus Christ do in his earthly ministry? Did he just walk around thinking, wow, how much longer do I have to be here? No, he walked around revealing the Father's love, that grace, healing, bringing deliverance, raising the dead. And when we get born again, we have that same power in us. Actually, the power that raised Jesus Christ in us lives. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in each one of us. That's that supernatural power that we have. That's why when we speak God's word, this is God's word, that we have the ability to see it come to pass. We are to depend on him for all things. That's when we will see the supernatural in our lives. So we want to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able and willing to perform. We don't look at the circumstances around us, but we look to the promises of God. If God said it, that settles it. Isn't that a life to be blessed with? Supernatural. That's what we're all about. We look at the God who raised the dead, which is the most impossible thing he could do. But he did it out of love for all mankind. I have to ask you a question. What do all these people have in common? In the lion's den, in a fish's belly, in a fiery furnace, in a borrowed tomb. What do these all have in common?
They all should have been dead.
They all should have been dead, yes. You're right. In the lion's den, Daniel, why did he get thrown in there? Because he prayed.
He wouldn't pray to the false god.
Right, he would not bow down to the false god. But he believed that he was convinced that only God is the one that he will serve. And even Darius, the king, said right after the night after Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he said, oh, Daniel, is the God that are you still alive? Is the God that you serve has spared you? I forget exactly the words there. So his faithfulness changed. The king actually said, I want everybody now to bow down, to pray to the God of Daniel. How about in the fish's belly? You should have died. I don't know how many people are alive in a fish's belly.
In a
whale's belly. It was a big fish. But there, God had purpose for him. And Jonah was able to bring the repentance that the people needed to be free from following other gods. So Jonah saved that nation. And so there's so many things that God has for each one of us that will change the world. That's what makes it so supernatural, because we have a position to do. In a fiery furnace, they did not want to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, the statue, right? And they were willing to die for their cause, and yet God had a purpose for them as well. In a borrowed tomb, our Lord and Savior, the devil thought he had him captured, but God had this mystery that he would be raised from the dead. And now we are raised from the dead as we acknowledge Jesus Christ, that he is our Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead. That's our salvation. God was not finished with any of these, and he's not finished with any of us. Mm-hmm. He wants our lives to shine, to show forth the love that God has for us. So they all took a stand, trusting and believing God, staggering not at the circumstances, but looking towards God for his purpose and will for their lives. And each one of us can be those heroes of faith, that we can stand shine our lives so that people will see, wow, he reminds me of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We can do the works that Jesus did and greater works. But we have to spend time in God's Word. To know him, we have to know his Word. To see our worth and value, again, we have to communicate with him. And then we want to see power. And that's what our lives are all about. We are living in the supernatural. And that's what I wanted to share today.
Wonderful.
Oops.